I was saying that I wanted to be somebody who can speak without notes. So I realized that I am not somebody who can speak without notes at that time. So I decided I do have a little bit of acting training. I'll just play the role of somebody who can speak without notes. So that's what I was telling you. Just pretend you're not you at first. For me, that was very helpful. I just imagined the part that I wanted to play, and then I assumed that role, even though it wasn't me. So I just stepped forward as the speaker who can speak without notes and who does make eye contact and who is good at looking at people and thinking about it. So I just took on the role. It's true that the first several classes I gave that way, maybe the first 40 classes I gave that way, I missed stuff. Not everything that I planned came out, and that's when I learned to go with the flow a little bit better also.
Oh, sure.
And occasionally, not only would I miss a point that I did actually really want to share, but I also wouldn't tie up ends sometimes. Like sometimes I'd be reviewing it as I'm walking home, or like even feeling good about it, and people say, oh, that's so great, and then I'd be walking home like, oh, I can't believe it.
I know.
Right, I totally exactly. opened that parsha, and I never closed it.
Like, exactly.
Right. So that's why I love questions. Questions are fabulous, because at first they bring you back on track,
right?
And or they take you where you want to go, or they take you right in the direction that that's. I find them very helpful.
Right.
I like.
Yeah, I do also.
I also like
no, I do.
Because you
also.
Can also give the stuff you forgot.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
In the
Q&A.
So it's great.
And it gives you a second to collect your thoughts.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I love questions.
Questions are terrific. Yeah. Yeah. So I invite them in the middle. I like them in the middle. Some people are thrown off by that. People who are really organized are thrown off by that. So I personally, the way that I cook is the way that I speak, right?
Oh,
I do not follow recipes. I'm not a recipe person. I occasionally read recipes. I like to look at pictures more. That gives me an idea. Occasionally I'll look at a picture and think, I don't actually know how to make that. So I'll read the recipe to get an idea. But I don't follow the recipes. So I just do what I want to do. And even in baking, everybody says you can't do that with baking. The truth is you can if you understand how it works. So so that's what I do. I have a lot of ingredients, and then I make what I want. Sometimes I have to get more ingredients to make what I want. So when I'm speaking publicly, I have a lot of ingredients to make what I want. So I have, and some of it is practice, but I have Torah that I've learned. I have stories that I've seen. I have ways that I've explained it that I've practiced. And those are all my ingredients in my public speaking pantry that are all there. And then I have my title and I have my destination that I work with whoever I'm speaking for. What should the destination be? Right? And then I can go through there. And I do meditate before I speak. I like see the top and I see the bottom and I watch myself going through it. And it could be a 5-minute meditation. It's not, it could be a 2-minute meditation. Right, but that's just part of just before, just to get it, mm-hmm. just to get a flow of where I'm headed, so I could see it. Occasionally, if it's a little trickier or if it's a little higher pressure, then I'm dreaming about the whole night before, and I don't get a night's sleep at all because it's just like, how am I going to present that? Where's it going to be? And I stress. That's my anxiety dream. I just stress over it. But then the speech, you know, has the advantage of all the anxiety, stressing, dreaming. Yeah.
I'm sorry, maybe I missed something before I came in, but so. Do you not make notes for yourself when you're preparing what you're going to speak even? You just like meditate about the topic?
So I do usually make some notes, but not a lot anymore. I do have a class from another that you can listen to since this is a super short presentation and I do want to respect that on how to organize a class.
So we're not talking
from
about
the material perspective. We're not talking about
class,
that.
Now we're talking about like a speech.
Or, yeah, we're talking about public speaking. I'm talking about really the physical presentation. How do you do it? So learning the material is a different question. And even organizing the material is a different question. And I do that. And for myself, a way that I review it is I really like, for a class or a public speech, not for a big one, you can't do this, but for something this size, I'd say 50 and under. I like to, if I get to it, make a handout, and I always make it enigmatic. Put the title at the top and my website underneath so they can contact me if they want to, or before I had a website, so then my email underneath, not a phone number, but my email. I probably should put my phone number, but whatever, just because it's easier to not answer the phone than have the ball in your court when they email you. And then I make usually one word reminders for myself. What my goal is with the sheet is that even if, and people can, and I leave space so people can take notes on it. Even if they don't take notes on it, this sheet should help them remember what I said after I said it, but not clue them in at all about what I'm gonna say before I say it. Right? That's what I want. So let's say I was speaking about intimacy, right? So I would put creation, man, woman, relationships, giving, Salam Elohim, unity, shalom. Dawn, right? So then I can go through the, or I start, now I start with Bris Mila. I start with Bris Mila to make the men uncomfortable immediately. I speak in mixed contexts, and so I'll just like put them at dis-ease instantly. But anyway, so that's what I like to do. So I like to just make it so that I have my roadmap. But even if, let's say it's a Shabbos, right? So they can take, I don't want them to know what I'm going to say, but when they take it back and say, oh, this is what she's talked about, and it gives them, it's a helpful thing for them, too. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's for both of us. So I do that. So in preparing, when I just make that sheet, that really helps me clarify my thoughts, too, what I want. And that's when sometimes I realize I have to go for extra ingredients, right? I'll get to a place on the sheet, and I'm like, I really want to talk about how we are, part of Tzelem Elohim is being unique. And that's salivagic, but I'm speaking to a crowd that's not salivagic friendly. But I think Dessler says that too. So let me find that article in Dessler, you know, because they'll relate to Dessler, and I don't want to give a quote here, and I'll look for it. So I just realized that that's on my shopping list too, right? Or I don't understand a concept fully, so I'll go find the concept. So anyway, so I speak like I cook, mix it together, and I mix it as I go now, just like I do in the kitchen. I know not everybody does that, so it doesn't work for, so people who are more organized that way, you just have to know yourself, you'll have to be more organized that way in your preparation of your material. But in terms of the presentation, so the first step, I think, if you're nervous about it, is to fake that you're not you. Act the role. And just pretend you're that person. For me, that, I mean, again, you have to know yourself, but for me, that really helped. Just to fake it, right? And also, give it to Hashem. Right? Really empty yourself out and say, okay, this is not about me and my presentation. This is about me being a kli for sharing Hashem's Torah, which is why I daven that it should be the right thing, it shouldn't be the wrong thing. But you can get yourself out of the way a little bit, which means you can also get yourself out of the way in evaluating at the end. I did great. I didn't do well. Oh, I didn't channel as well as I would have liked to, but it's not me. There's a great, does anybody watch TED Talks? Yeah. There's a really nice TED Talk by the author of Eat, Pray, Love. I think that's the name of the book, right? So she talks about how what genius is and how she's 40 and she's written a runaway international bestseller. What is she supposed to do after this? There's nowhere to go except down, right? She's like, am I at the top of my life, the top of my career? I'll never, ever top it. How could, everybody's expecting me to top. How could I top something that's translated into 21 languages and made me hundreds of millions of dollars, which I never expected, but like, am I a genius? And she explores the concepts of genius. Do in the West, we are geniuses. Apparently in ancient times, you had a genius. And it would either come, so she says, she talks to her genius, it's not her, right? And she'll just show up at the computer sometime and say, okay, I'm here. Like, I showed up for my part. It's up to you if you want to show up for yours, right? So she just like gives it up. So I hear that. It's an interesting talk to
about schizophrenia.
Right.
100%. So much davening.
Right. So much davening. But she, wow. It was an interesting thing. She even talked about some authors and some people. I think Rabbi Cassell talked about that young guy. I want to look him up, but he just channels symphonies. But some people like receive poems like that. And there's an American poet that I heard about from her who, she was working in the field and she saw a poem coming. And she didn't have anything to write it down on, so she ran home to get something to write on. But by the time she got home, the poem had, like, passed her. And so she had to pull it backwards, and she wrote it backwards down on the paper and got it. Like, she, like, caught it by the tail and pulled it backwards. Yeah, it's weird. Okay. And it's some people channel things like that. They're momish channeling. Like, things come through them. You listen to the talk and you can hear. I forgot which poet that was, but it's on that TED Talk. Just about pulling something back and things coming through. Sometimes things do really just come through. I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I have the experience of listening to some recordings that I've made a while ago thinking, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. Like, I must have known that because I said that. But like, so I actually changed my tefillahs too, because when I learn, I ask Hashem, please help me learn your Torah. Please help me understand your Torah. Now I ask, please help me remember your Torah and live it and shine it. Right? So, So I ask for that. But I used to ask for just please help me be your kli to share Torah with the people who are there. And I realized sometimes I was just the kli. It wasn't my Torah. I hadn't acquired it. Because I also ask in Chanein Hadat, when I get to say Shemona Esrei, which is not daily, don't think I'm a big tzaddik because it daven's all the time. I don't cover that up. I daven Hashem all the time, but I don't always open a siddur. Right? So I do, I always say brachos and whatever, but I don't always say Shemona Esrei, but when I do in Chonin Hadat, which is please give me knowledge for free, I say, Hashem, I need it for free. I'm busy. I don't have the best memory. I don't have a lot of time. I don't have the best understanding. I don't have the best skills. Please just give it to me for free because I need it. I want to be your servant. I want to do your will, and I need Torah to do that, so please give it to me as a gift. Turns out, though, the gifts don't belong when we acquire Torah, though. It's not ours. So sometimes it is a present, but since it wasn't through acquisition, it's not my Torah. It's your Torah, because I could just say it for you, right? So I have started to ask that I should remember that, even if it's free, that I want it to stick. So, okay, so that's that. So, okay, so now with presentation. Skip the shtender, right? Very important. You have to learn how to walk around, how to make your voice go up, and then step in a little bit and say something a little quieter to modulate your voice. You get everybody's attention back if you bring your voice down. And then you can really say something or use your arms big. I had to actually practice in front of the mirror in my bedroom, because I did get one public speaking class where he really talked about don't, my drama teacher, I won't say what she used to call us, but it was shoveling something that starts with S. So she said, don't do this, right? Right, so that was drama in high school. Don't do this. But you really have to learn how to make big movements. And it doesn't even look so big. Once you're actually speaking, you just look like you're engaged with the audience. But if you think you need to stand there like this, right, so then you look foolish.
All right.
Right?
I used to be attached to my standard like for dear life.
My video guy doesn't like that I move my hands.
Right,
like,
when you do video, they make you not move.
They don't like you to move the mic.
It's terrible.
It's right, like video, it's a harder thing. Right, but you do want to learn how to walk around without rocking. You want it, the shtender in front of you. People like that. When I spoke on Shabbos,
it's for security.
It's for security. Yeah.
When I spoke on Shabbos, I was sitting in a chair like this at the table, and the guy said, "Oh, I'm really sorry, I don't have time." He said, "You could take the chair." So he wanted me to do this, right? He was suggesting that I could do this. But the purpose of doing this is to put distance between me and you, because I'm nervous and I don't want you to actually see me. So that is not a way to connect with your audience. You really do need to be. So the first thing I do is move the shtender aside if I can. I hate it when there's a mic. Now, if there's a microphone in a shtender and I have to stand behind it. It's so limiting. You want to be able to walk around and get some eye contact with somebody or look at them.
You don't have notes.
Correct. No, I do. I do actually like a shtender or a chair that I could put my notes on and my cup of water. It really helps to for me. I usually do need a drink.
But did I miss that we're not supposed to have notes?
She
did discuss in the beginning.
Have tried to speak without notes. Yeah, I try not to. Yeah, I don't. If I need to, I'll walk around with something like this, or I'll just put it on an index card. You know, so I do have like a little thing, and I usually just use it to just keep track like that. So, but you can still walk around, even holding something as big as this. I try to make it neater, you know, than two sheets, just one sheet written on only one side. But yeah, you can walk around something like that. But I like to walk around, and then you do make the eye contact. So you do have to practice speaking about something you're totally knowledgeable about. Just like try telling your one of your birth stories or something like that in your bedroom to your mirror or to your husband, but tell it big. You know, and you can just say it. So first my contractions started small. Then they started to really get big. And boy, did they hurt! Right? So, but you can really try it using your voice in different ways and your arms in different ways. And like, and at first it's, you feel crazy using so much space, but it actually looks normal. You know, when you're the audience person, and it's more engaging. So, but you do have to come out of yourself a little bit to be able to do it, because especially as a female, especially Bais Yaakov trained, you're trained to sit there so very nicely. You know, it's interesting. At Ne'el Elef, I go to Israel every year, and I meet with the classes. So the regular Ne'el Elef class is the Bais Yaakov graduate class, and they all sit there very nicely, take some nice notes, then they ask a point of information question, say thank you, and leave, right? The Amiel class is the Israeli class, and they're the Mizrahi girls, and they do not give you a minute to speak. You say a sentence, and then blah, 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 and they're talking back and forth, and they're arguing with each other, and then calms down again. And then the speaker can say a couple of words, and then they all have a discussion about it, and they all have something to say and contribute and add, and then calms down again, it's a little bit quieter. It's a completely different experience. So if you're Bais Yaakov trained, it will take you a little extra effort. You're all in this room old enough to like step out a little bit, but you'll have to step out a little bit. It's not tznius to move your body, so you want to do it in tznius ways, but tznius just means, tznius doesn't mean being diminutive or demure or quiet. It means taking the focus off the physical onto what you're saying. You're using your body to bring a focus to what you're saying. So you don't want to do any, like, you know, you don't have to dance Sephardic in front of people. Like,
right.
Ballet.
Right.
Well, I recommend
right.
it.
It might help.
But you should just practice in your own space, walking around and feeling the aura around you and filling it up with who you are.
Can I just say one thing? Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting. I don't think I could do that. Like, I don't think I could stand in front of my mirror. And
maybe you can't. So you can do it with your eyes closed.
No. But what I find is when I'm standing in front of the group, I'm able to, because of the energy of the class or whatever, like, you're given, like, I feel like, I don't know. I don't think I could practice. That's my...
Well, how did you step into that? What was your process? Did you always speak that way?
No, I mean, you know, I mean, it's been a lot of years, so I guess you just...
So that's why I'm giving like a beginner step.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're a public speaker that has
a
style a
little
bit.
I don't think I'm a public speaker, though. I'm a teacher. I'm not a... Like, a speaker does have... But you can... my point is when you're in front of the group, you get a certain energy that you can...
Yeah. You definitely
that,
can. Yes,
that I can sure. I can right. do absolutely. Beforehand in front
right.
of my
sure.
mirror.
Absolutely. It's definitely true. You just want to prep. The point of the mirror is just to see that this doesn't look so crazy.
Right.
Right? That when you do this, you don't look like a freak. You don't have to do this.
Right.
You know, you can do this and it's okay. It's okay to take a big step back or to reach up high for something in front of the whole audience. It's fine. And you
right.
don't look crazy if you do it. That's
right.
what I'm saying.
I hear.
I'm talking about a one-time practice session. That's it.
Right.
Just to see that it doesn't look nuts if you use bigger movements. You don't have right. to do this the whole time. Like, right? So, right. So that's it.
Okay.
Okay, so the next thing is to keep your eyes, of course, you want to make eye contact, but I definitely notice it really helps, and now that when I sit in audiences, I try hard, it really helps to see the smiles on people's faces. Look at that person. They really help you, like when they're doing this.
Mm-hmm, right.
You're like, yes, I'm nailing it. Right? It's good. Keep your eyes on that person.
So, true.
So and you can really, you can feel the energy in the room.
Yeah.
Like Friday night.
Story.
Yeah, Friday night I gave a talk, and so the rabbi asked me, how long will you be speaking? I said, however long you want. You want 15 minutes, you want half an hour, you want 45 minutes, whatever. He's like, well, he wasn't quite sure. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll watch people. When they start to nod off, I'll bring it to a close. He said, okay, that sounds good. So I do that, though. I do watch people, and you do need to see, are they interested? Aren't they interested? Maybe you're going to go in a different direction because you see that they're really lapping that up, or they start to glaze over with something else. So you have to watch and see what they're doing. And you can listen to them, and their questions, and their comments, and their laughs, right? In Mexico, I have to be more careful when I speak. There's lots of English speakers there, and those are the only ones, of course, who come to hear me, because lo siento mucho, but my only sentence in Spanish is lo hablo español. So, no hablo español. Mixing up my foreigns, right? Anyway, but I have learned there to speak more slowly, to pause longer, definitely to pause after a joke because it takes them a minute to get. They do. They laugh
they,
into the
then
next
they share
sentence.
It with each other. They tell each other.
Right.
The
they translate it.
Right. It's really cute. Yeah. So it's just but you do have to just be in touch with your audience and how they're absorbing it. So my most, I thought, would be very challenging, but I did learn the skill pretty well. I saw when 2 years ago I went to London, and I spoke for the Satmar Beaker Holen fundraising event. 1,000 Satmar women, right?
Wow.
It was the biggest speech, to the biggest audience I ever addressed. Not only that, but I had a squad of Satmar women in the double head coverings and the bulletproof stockings come beforehand to tell me which words I can't use, including date, love.
Dating.
But
what word do they use?
You have a bishop. Right? It's
a meeting. It's a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't use date. Data secular.
What did you speak about?
You're such tarfus when you're speaking to Sitisha women. Say such a word.
It's good how do they warn you in advance, by the way. It is good to warn you in advance because you don't want to say it. It's not accepted by them.
Right.
How do they get to you?
I think maybe Laura Kalanick was my name. I'm trying to remember. Because
they
have a big event. They have a big event once a year, 1,000 women for their Beaker Holum, and they find somebody. So I spoke about my daughter Shiddah. Which is a good story. You can hear it online if you want to. You can hear it, the Satmar one.
It's on your website?
Good story. It's on my website. I have a tab under audio called Talks from Travels. So there's the one-time talks. And I have two different versions on my website of that talk, the London one, which is more formal, and the Portland, Oregon one, which is more Hamish, but it's a good story.
Which one's better?
I don't
know.
Listen to both.
You can listen to both and tell you.
I'll tell you.
Anyway, so what I wanted to say about that talk was when I got up on stage, so I was not on the same level as the people that I'm addressing, but I'm up on stage above everybody and the lights are bright.
You can't see them.
There's no eye contact. So how are you going to read your audience?
You can't. Oh, laughing. Laughing.
Right.
Not
so I felt the energy. I could feel when they were leaning in. And when they weren't as interested, or when they were more curious, I could feel it. It was really interesting. I could see
that's because you're in touch.
But it's because I am a practice. Yeah. But I'm just saying, it does come. This is just skills, right? It's just practice. It's not magic. I've been speaking for a while. I'm just telling you that it can be there. That you can be. It was a very interesting experience for me because I was worried about it, especially when I've told the story a lot of times. I'm a practice public speaker. I could just act. You know, the role, as if I'm seeing faces. I could have done that, but I didn't have to because I heard it and I felt it around me. So it was just interesting to realize that my other senses probably are engaged. I probably am hearing and feeling at the same time that I'm seeing, but this time, since I couldn't see so well, I became aware of really being able to feel it and hear it better.
I think the human mind is such an incredible thing that at the same time, while you're speaking, so you're saying those words, but your mind is also processing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Sometimes
and watching
switching what you were going to say something else. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on the audience.
Right. I think that's a bracha in being ADD. I think there's like I could definitely think on two tracks.
Right.
You know, like.
I think even if you're not ADD,
it's
a tremendous bracha.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I just want to say, when you are speaking in a smaller group or when you can make eye contact, it's really helpful in confidence building to focus on the people who are paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
not depending, I mean, if you're students, they could be texting, whatever.
Right.
But like focusing on those faces that are with you,
mm-hmm.
you know, just as
right.
really, it's helpful.
Right. And then it's so nice. Like it's such a help when somebody's smiling. You have to focus on that because it really does. It really does make you feel like, oh yeah, I'm saying the right thing, and
that's
what really appreciates it.
Right,
yeah. So you find your faces. And if, let's say you're beginning and you're feeling a little nervous, plant a face. Just ask somebody to come who will smile at you. It really helps. It does. Sometimes you're embarrassed. Sometimes you're embarrassed because you don't want your friend to hear you or whatever it is, so... You know.
I have a much harder time speaking to people I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Much harder time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is harder.
Because there's a certain expectation, because you're not acting. peer pressure.
Right, you can't do that. You can't
do that. There's no imposter complex. Right. Like that imposter complex that we have as speakers.
Right. No,
it's full force. They know what you, you know.
Right, they know who you really are. You can't fake it. Right. So I have definitely, I mean, I try to be really me in my talks. And I'm sure I reveal too much. Like there are definitely people that say, how can you go so personal? That's me.
Right. Everybody has to.
I have to say, the more comfortable you are with the material, the less. Like I've gone through that whole process of like being very personal, and I mean I tell my story, so that's very personal. But there's some balance. Like the more you're comfortable with material, sometimes you can give over these concepts without it having to be.
Not really. I don't have a problem with the students that I have a problem with, like family.
Your peers.
Yeah, or
absolutely. My hardest speech of the year used to be, and now I'm over it, but it used to be the once a year that I spoke to the women on Shabbos Mevrachim Chodesh on the west side of Denver. That's my neighborhood.
Right.
It's my ladies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it took me a while to get comfortable with that, but part of that was the feeling inferior, like. Right. Do I really know enough Torah to really give to these women who are all deeply anchored FFBs? So as I've gotten to know them better over the years, it turns out they're not all that deeply anchored, even if they're all FFBs. Even if they're all FFBs and from Sinai, you know, they're not even B'nai B'T FFBs, you know, so that, but still they all...
FFFs.
FFFs, the from forevers, right? So even if they're that, then it doesn't mean that they actually know.
Right.
You know, some don't even know halacha, but almost no one knows hashkafa.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Right. Very few people know philosophy, and that's what I love to teach.
Right.
So that's my material, and that's what I share, and now I feel really comfortable sharing. And At first, I used to pat myself on the back and say, oh, you're such a good teacher, you can reach the people who hardly know anything, up to a few Rosh Hashanahs. I've had classes with brand new beginners, up to like Michlala students and even a rabbi or two in the class, and I've inspired everybody. I thought, oh, look how you can inspire everybody. And then I thought, actually, I'm just sharing material that none of them ever learns. Like the rabbis didn't learn that either, and they didn't learn that Michlala, and they didn't learn, and you know, like I'm just sharing material that nobody knows. It's not that I'm the best communicator on the planet.
What material are we talking about?
That nobody knows.
Yeah, that nobody knows. Yeah. We want to know.
Nobody knows for a reason, but she will keep it that way.
No, well, probably Derech Hashem.
Derech Hashem, that's exactly it. Derech Hashem, which is Kabbalah. It's that, I call it the driveway up to Kabbalah. Because it's the mutter Kabbalah, but it is, right on the edge, it actually is Kabbalah. But it's Kabbalah that we're allowed to share and discuss. But people don't learn it.
Right.
How the world works. People don't know.
Right.
You know, I mean, today we talked about how we became Jews from non-Jews. What's the mechanism of that? How does that work? How does prayer work? Why do we daven? And how can my prayer affect you? How is that possible? That's all Derech Hashem's stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? And people don't know that stuff. Everybody knows you can pray for something, but how does it work? Right? The mystical mechanics, I call it. So that's what I like to learn, and that's what I like to share. And that brings us to the end of our class, right? So everybody should have a bracha. They should be able to channel Hashem's light into the world with your words and with your action, with your physical presentation. You should be lights and shine brightly for yourselves, for your family, and for Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lunch.
I don't know, for some reason I thought it was like for those Shomer Shabbos already. What's amazing about soul is that by nature of the program, it attracts a high
grade. It's self-selecting. It requires that to be motivated. It's so nice. Okay, so I'm going to put that together for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Oh,
thank
you. So Kim.
I will be in New York because I have that Shabbos, I'm going to be in Toronto.
So then, do I just go straight to Toronto, or do I go through? That's a lot more Sunday, Monday, Tuesday if you stay. I would say after. I'm saying I will. I'll have the Wednesday and Thursday. We only be Tuesday nights. Oh, only Tuesday nights. Okay, so that's good to know. Yeah. So I'll see what the. And what do you? Lisa, excuse me. Who? They want to know now that you're having class. Those speaking now. He is. He changes. He wants to do it now, so you don't have to stick around later.
Could you ask before that?
So Ty just informed me. He wants to speak to women now at lunch. But still, what's a different thing? I don't know. Could you guess?
It's actually not a problem. We're going to have questions for that mental health lady. And the fact that it's only an hour, it's not long enough. So as long as she takes, will be great. And if people leave, that'll be fine. And then I'll just bring it to a close at some point.
I thought he was supposed to give the closing talk.
So I'm 750 a day for the middle of the week, 1,000 for Sundays, 1,800 for Shabbos, 2,500 for the entire week. That's what I'm doing. Plus expenses. So for nearly all people, it's different. Yeah, so
that's pretty better.
Sometimes free, and sometimes not, depending on.
I have my budget is 250. I needed to do more. I would try and get more if I'm in a city anyway. That's what I take. If I have the time.
So okay. If I have to come for that, it's different.
Of course. That's why I'll try to make it anyway.
But it's a Tuesday night,
which is usually more,
which is harder because then I usually would be in the city anyway. I'm coming from. So let's say it was Baltimore after that conference. I'm there anyway. I'm going to spend the night, so I wouldn't care like, what I'm getting for that. But I could try. So I could arrange it for two, three days. Because I often will do it for free, but the truth is, you know, it only pays me half time. And I'm like, I work full time. So I'm happy to accept with somebody, like, but I don't want to take like.
You get paid if you work part time?
Yeah, I get paid for half time.
I have a teacher, I'm a student, I'm a teacher, I'm a student, 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 I'm a
it's always a pleasure to be around. Inspirational, healthy.
I think I'm for coffee for like 4 hours and I don't want to miss a word.
So oh, no.
I'm like, I can't speak.
It would be a class, like, about something. They can't.
They see
us, like, yeah.
Oh,
we need to have actually
aerobics,
so I don't do classes. Right. I don't do classes. It could be like a ballet, but whatever. Sunday night, like, high school. Yeah.
Like anything.
Oh, I see. It's all the
classes.
You're
going to
be with everyone, you know?
Okay, good.
Thank you so much. That's what reminded me that I had something.
Okay.
I didn't bring it too far this time.